The Color of My Helmet, written by Lame Unicorn and read by K-Verb. This is a Star Wars Batfam crossover fic, rated teen and up audiences, in which no archive warnings apply. It features the characters of Jason Todd, Talia al Ghul, and Arla Fett. Now, you want to get out of here, Odd? Jason stares at the blonde Mandalorian across from him, trying not to shift too much. His wrist is definitely broken, not to mention the other wounds that Kurtzad members gave him after his poorly thought-through plan to break into their information hub. The woman calls herself Arla Fett. What about everyone else? Fett shrugs. We free them, too. Jason tilts his head. Considers it. A vicious grin pulls on his face as he comes to an answer. Two weeks earlier. Jason dismantles the bomb carefully under the watchful eyes of his latest instructor. A shift of wire here, a shift of wire there, and the timer carefully ticks to a stop. He's been doing several such exercises under various instructors since coming under Talia's care. Based on Nanda Parbat, a small moon in the Outer Rim, the League of Shadows quietly extends its shadowy fingers all over the galaxy. Jason knows Roz has connections from Hutt space to the Mandalore sector, all the way to the core world. Hands in everything from the slave and spice trades to the Senate at the heart of the Republic. It makes him suspicious, to put it mildly, of Jason's role in all of it. He knows Roz doesn't approve of Talia's affections for him, but he can't place why either of them still keep him around. He's an apt fighter, sure, especially after the extensive training he's received at the hands of the League, but he's not special. Not even being an heir to Gotham's mock of a throne is enough to convince him that he actually has value to the demon, considering the little boy he's seen running around with Bruce's face. His best guess has to do with why Talia threw him into the Dathomiri Lazarus waters. Jason doesn't quite buy that he wasn't dead. He felt pretty dead, bleeding out from where the crowbar had torn him open, and quite a bit more after the bomb went off, flames scorching his skin and smoke invading his lungs. And he feels different now. He's always had a sense, a nudge here, a whisper there, and if Jason listened, his odds of whatever he was doing always increased. He was always just a little bit faster. A little bit quicker to be hidden by the shadows, and reading people was second nature. When Talia dumped him in the toxic, whispering green waters of the Dathomiri magic, it only intensified. The whispers follow him still. Shadows pull on his footsteps and hide him from sight. He touches things and picks up impressions others leave behind, and he senses others' emotions and selves in a way he couldn't before. It's like the whole galaxy opened up to him and invited him into her folds and told him her secrets. Jason doesn't tell Talia. He observes her and Roz. While they are certainly abnormal after their constant and often exposure to the Lazarus waters, they aren't like him. He can tell that the shadows don't sing to them, that people don't leave pieces of themselves in their heads, and that the world does not bend to their whims. Not like it does to Jason. It's like he can tell, even without looking into it, what kind of horrible person his current instructor is. The man radiates selfish, cruel, greedy out into the world. Even without his association with the League, That alone would get Jason looking into what pots the man's dipping his hands into. Besides demolitions, the man has underhanded dealings with Kessel's spice trade and the Outer Rim slaving rings. Jason alone might not be able to bring down those operations, but damn if he can't knock out some middlemen. With the time having ticked to a stop, the instructor above him grunts in vague approval. It's the first time he's dismantled this particular explosive, one he learned to build as well, and it's his best time yet.
Well, kid, I wouldn't say you're an expert or anything, but you're competent. Tell the LOS they can go ahead and forward the second half.
The blaster bolt winds in the air before quickly striking its target, and the body falls to the ground with a thud. Jason tucks his blaster back into its holster and eyes the corpse with little remorse. Slavers and spice traders don't hold a lot of room for sympathy. He quickly cleans the space of any proof he ever existed before the local security forces arrive and calms Talia. Her hologram floats above his device on the last ring. She looks as immaculate as ever, dark hair pulled back into a formal updo, and her black and green clothes draped across her body elegantly. She must be dealing with politicians today. Her face reads as perfectly blank as ever.
Jason, tell me you didn't kill this one.
Jason winces.
No can do, T.
Jason,
she scolds.
The League does business with these people. It won't do to have them all disappear because you can't control yourself.
I can control myself just fine. You have noticed that I wait until after I've learned all I can from the no-good pieces of galactic scum? The look she gives him is all ice.
If you're done, then you should return to Nanda Parbat. You have some training to catch up on before I send you to your next instructor.
She disconnects the call without any further commentary. Jason looks down at the fallen body again. He sighs, rolling his neck. Time to find this asshole's ship. I'm sending you to train with someone new. The words are old hat from Talia at this point, but something about her tone makes Jason look up from the holopad he's reading from.
Who?
Mandalorians. Death Watch, specifically.
Mandalorians. Interesting. And?
He presses. They have been known to integrate their members unorthodoxly.
You're worried, he realizes. Talia sends him a scolding look.
You are stubborn. Do as they say, and you will be fine.
All right, Jason agrees, knowing even as he says the words that they're a lie. From her expression, Talia knows it too. Anything else I should know?
What do you know of Mandalore and her people?
A little. Supposedly they're the best warriors in the galaxy.
Talia tilts her head, a hair in agreement. They are among the best, yes. The past few years, they've been in a civil war. Officially, it's over, but the two factions, Ha Mando Adai and Kir Tazar, and most recently a third, the New Mandalorians, have been in fighting about their leader and way of life.
And you're sending me to the Death Watch faction, Kir Tazar?
Jason narrows his eyes at her. What are their differences?
The Ha Mando Adai were put together under Jaster Mareel, the former Mandalore. They follow the Super Commando Codex and Raison Arrae. They fall back on their warrior ancestry, but not so much as to pose a threat to the Republic. Kirtzad is more aggressive and wants to return to the time when Mandalorians were conquerors. And the New Mandalorians are nothing more than soft-willed pacifists. But they're steadily gaining influence, and the Republic favors them.
Jason considers that with a thoughtful frown. And you're sending me to the most aggressive of the three. Talia sends him a dry look.
I'm sure you can handle it. The League has alliances with some of their members.
All right, he agrees warily, knowing there's nothing more he can say about it. Besides, he's met the Clown Prince one-on-one and survived. He can handle a few Mandalorians. A ship drops by Nanda Parbat the next day. It goes rapidly downhill from there. He doesn't know what he was expecting from a training camp for Mandalorians, but it wasn't this. They shove him through processing, a rough and invasive process where he has to strip to make sure he's not smuggling anything in. Then, he's escorted to a bunk room filled with other humanoids his age. The room reeks of pain, anger, fear, in a way that sits unpleasantly in the back of his mind. It's not hard to figure out why. A majority of these kids aren't here voluntarily. And that just won't do. He wonders if Talia is trying to prove a point. Jason can do a lot of things, but he can't take on an entire camp of fully trained Mandalorians by himself. So Jason's not sure what he can do about it, but he can't just sit here and do nothing. So he bides his time. After a mere 3 days, he comes to realize that he's simply outnumbered in every way possible. He can't take on every Mandalorian alone, especially when he doesn't know all the ins and outs, guard routes, or number of members. He decides his first priority is information. He sets his sights on the central hub where various Death Watch members, Kirt Zadi, come and go. It's planning time.
See how you like this, you little Ateen Shakar Odd.
Planning did not go well. Jason gets thrown roughly to the ground and something in his wrist gives as he lands on it the wrong way, cuffs locked tight around them. There's only a moment to spare to be glad no one found out about his gift. He glares up at the Kirt Zadi, but before he can get his feet underneath him, he's kicked twice just under the ribs, then hauled upright and back against a wall. He hears a faint click as the cuffs are attached to something on the wall, and the angle sends fiery tendrils down his wrist and into his arm. He definitely broke something. The door hisses closed, leaving the room dimly lit by the singular light strip over the doorway. Breathing through the burning pain, he looks around the cell. He's not alone. The being across from him is restrained, blonde hair mussed and matted with blood. They're eyeing Jason warily, like he's something new and to be cautious of. Jason returns the sentiment. Kirt Zadi doesn't seem the type to not test him in any way possible.
Mavar Tigar?
Jason stares at them blankly for a second, trying to patch what little of Mandoa he knows into the being's words. Clearly, he takes too long because they frown and ask, "You good, Odd?" Jason scowls and shrugs, taking care not to jostle his arm or any of the rest of his injuries. They didn't appreciate my attempts to break into their info hub. The sentient barks out a surprised laugh, taking Jason in a new light. Some of the suspicion in their eyes eases. "You got Mando Carla, Odd. I give you that. What's your name?" "Jason Todd. He, him."
"Pure, Jason. Well met. I'm Arla Fett, she, her. Did you get far?"
Jason hesitates. Fett could very well be a trap. Jason's always been good at reading people. The Manda only sharpened it. He doesn't really think Fett's trying to deceive him, even without the Manda, but he's not one to so easily trust. Fett's eyes flicker. Her expression turns a little bitter, if understanding.
"When I was 14, Kirt Zadi attacked my home. I was kidnapped. I have no idea what happened to my Vod, my brother. I've been with Kirt Zadi ever since."
Jason snorts, though there is little amusement to the sound. That doesn't really give me any more reason to trust you.
She tilts her head, a wry look to her face. Not even with this? She holds up her hands.
Depends. How'd you end up in them?
Didn't like how they were getting Ade.
This isn't the first time, she scoffs.
If there wasn't something special about having a fet, I'd be long dead.
And what is so special about being a fet?
Her expression is sardonic as she says, haven't seen the kid in 14 years, but last I heard, my brother's gone and become the Mandalore.
Ah, Jason replies elegantly. He does know what that means. Fett snorts.
Ah,
so how far'd you get?
Jason glances to the doorway. He might have a potential ally here, but he's not going to give up information if he can be overheard. Fett catches the glance and shakes her head. They don't listen in. More from laziness than anything.
He studies her. All right, he agrees cautiously, then grins, quick and sharp. Voice lowered, he says, I made it all the way there. Copied blueprints and schematics, guard rotations, how many ships they have and their schedule, hid the data stick.
Her face flashes with something akin to feral delight. Oh, odd. I think you and I are going to get along just fine.
You want to get out of here, Odd?
What about everyone else?
Fett shrugs. We free them too.
He takes her in. Nothing about her reads as deceptive. A willingness, a readiness, lies in the set of her shoulders and face. He believes her. A shark-like grin on his face, Jason agrees. Yeah, okay.
Okay, Fett responds in kind. Let's kick some Tamagoka shabs.
The end.